Hi everyone. I'm just kind of waiting for a few more. This is Patty from 100% Fed Up. And I don't do a lot of live videos on our page. I have a lot of guests that appear live on our page, but we don't have a ton of people, or we don't typically do live Facebook feeds. The reason why I decided to come on today is because I have a really important story to tell you. First of all, first and foremost, the media is lying to you about voter fraud. They're working overtime. The media and social media, big tech giants, are working overtime to convince you that voter fraud isn't a real thing and that it's limited and it doesn't really happen and it can't happen on a mass scale. I'm here to tell you that I've been a poll challenger for 9 years. Voter fraud is a real thing. It's organized. It's, to the best of my knowledge, always organized by Democrats. It's been my experience anyhow. My business partner, Lisa Audette, and I, the other mom on the 100% Fed Up page, we were concerned about election results that were coming out of Pontiac, Michigan, several years ago when Barack Obama was president. And we asked why nobody ever acted as a poll challenger in that district. And we were told that it was too dangerous, that people didn't want to go into that district. So, of course, being the sort of activist moms that we are, we decided to go into that polling place. And we saw incredible fraud. I was physically threatened in that polling place by the supervisor. We saw people letting people through with pill bottles for ID. It was just incredible what we saw. And when we tried to stop the voter fraud, the Michigan Republican Party wouldn't really do anything about it. And so this time, when Trump mysteriously, when all these ballots started mysteriously showing up in Detroit at the last minute for Biden and none of them for Trump, I decided that I needed to go down to Detroit and work in the polling place. I got a call at about 4 o'clock in the morning asking if I would go down and work in the polling place. It really wasn't something I wanted to do because I've felt defeated in the past after leaving, knowing that the Republican Party wouldn't do anything about the voter fraud that we saw. So I wasn't really excited about going, but I decided that they needed me. I was told they only had 40 poll challengers working in a room with thousands of people that were counting votes. So I decided that I was going to go down and become a poll challenger, and I did. When I got there, the room that they were counting ballots in the TCF Center, that's formerly the known as Cobble Hall in Detroit, had over 1,000 people. There were 150 tables where 5 people were supposed to be working at each table. I'm going to back up a little bit because I was originally asked to be a poll worker. That's where I was told I would be most useful. So I went through the training to become a poll worker. And so the good news is I went through the training to become a poll worker, so I knew exactly what the people were doing at the table when I got there. The bad news is that when I got there, I knew exactly what the people were doing at the table. About 30% of the people that were standing around the tables were agitators. They were definitely all tied in with the Democrat Party. I would say I wouldn't be surprised if there were people that were Antifa members there and other, you know, radical factions of the left that were standing around the tables. These people didn't have any identification, no identification at all. They were just standing around the tables. And then there were Democrat poll challengers who were wearing a little green sticker, maybe on their shoulder or on their back or somewhere on their top or sweater or shirt. They were wearing a little green sticker that identified them as a Democrat poll challenger. The Republican poll challengers were wearing a big 12-inch piece of paper, 12-by-4 piece of paper hanging from a lanyard with our name on it that identified us as a poll worker or a poll challenger. So there was no question about who the Republican poll challengers were. When we walked up to a table, we were immediately swarmed by these leftist factions and by the poll workers themselves. So the big thing for the poll workers that night was to tell people to stand away from them 6 feet. And they used this COVID BS over and over and over again. Stand back 6 feet. I had this radical activist ask me if I was trying to kill the people at the table because I was standing 3 feet away from the table. So my job was to watch. So we were watching people taking absentee ballots, workers taking absentee ballots out of boxes, and they were bringing the absentee ballots to their table. And so these are blank ballots, right? And they're taking them to their table. And so we had people lined up from the GOP that were following people to the table to see what they were doing with these absentee ballots when they got there. And what they were doing is they were creating duplicate ballots. So if there was a ballot that somebody voted in the wrong district, two people would sit and watch the ballot, and then another person would witness it. My job was to watch to make sure that they were properly transcribing one ballot to the other. And so as I was watching, I had Democrats, I had people at the table, I had leftist activists all screaming at me to back up, get back, stand back, you're too close. It was a constant agitation. It was, they never stopped bullying the workers, the GOP workers. It was just a constant in your face, pull your mask up, your mask is slipping down, you're too close. And then we would ask to see the ballots that they were writing on, they would tell us no. I had one incident where we were standing at a table last night, and I was standing with this really badass woman, Lori, and I won't say her last name in case she doesn't want me to, but she was standing at a screen watching the screen that would display the worker that was working on a computer that was checking in the ballots. The screen that she was working on was displayed so that the poll challengers could see the screen. And she was noticing that the voters that they were checking in were not registered voters. And so I was standing on the other side noticing that she also wasn't finding them in the manual poll books. And so the two of us were cross-checking each other, and they were kind of taking turns, the workers at the table turning around and screaming at us and telling us to get away from the table, that we were too close. And then another agitator was at the table telling us we were too close. So here's what we discovered. I'd been working for about 6 hours, and I was standing on a cement floor the whole time, and I needed to take a short break. So I went upstairs to a break room, and I was up there for about 10 minutes. And the reason I decided to take a break is because we were told that the military ballots were getting ready to be counted, which are typically Republican ballots. And so we were kind of all coordinating, getting ready for those military ballots to come in. And one of the people that was kind of leading the group there had assigned one person, one GOP poll worker to each table. There were 150 tables. And so we were told to go take a break. So we took a break. I was only gone for about 10 or 15 minutes. And when I came back, the people inside the election, and again, this is another woman that didn't have any identification, so I can't even tell you what her job was. She locked the doors. And she told the GOP poll challengers they were not allowed to come in. Keep in mind that there were 150 tables. Only one GOP worker at each table had been assigned. And she told us there were too many GOP workers. Most of them were outside taking a break. So I decided that I wasn't going to listen to this woman. And as soon as it were, I kind of pushed my way through and got in and got lost in the crowd. So I was actually talking to the Fox News crew when the GOP poll workers started shouting, "Stop the vote." And so the Fox News reporter that was interviewing me stopped so they could capture what was happening. And I was standing in front of the windows where the poll workers were locked out and watching them chanting, "Stop the vote," when people that were working, volunteering, these radical agitators, and the people that were working at the stations where they were assigned, the paid workers, started grabbing pizza boxes and pieces of cardboard and blocking the windows, taping them up so that the GOP poll workers, they didn't have to see them, and it was just kind of an in-your-face thing, right? So this morning, Jocelyn Benson, Democrat Secretary of State, newly elected in Michigan, was on WJR, and she told Frank Beckman, who's like one of the top hosts in our area, that the reason they put cardboard over the windows is because the GOP workers, poll challengers, were banging so hard on the glass that they broke the window. Total lie, right? So fortunately, I was on hold, and I was able to get on to Frank Beckman this morning and explain to him that what the Secretary of State said was a complete lie. I was there. I was standing right next to the windows when everything kind of erupted. So another thing that happened that everybody needs to know about is that poll workers were constantly being threatened about their masks, right? That was a big deal. Pull your mask up. Your mask is falling down. Stand away from the table. And, you know, after you go through this for about 6 or 7 hours, you're kind of sick of these people, right? They're really, really mean people. And so occasionally we would hear kind of clapping breakout in the room. And this is a huge room, right? Gigantic room. And it was another GOP worker that was being thrown out. And what would happen is if somebody didn't agree to their terms to stand back from the table, you know, it wasn't just 6 feet. They wanted us to stand back far enough that we couldn't see anything. Then they would call the police over, and the Detroit police, who this little group of Detroit police were more than happy to kick the GOP workers out. So they would escort the workers out. Some of them they took out in handcuffs because the GOP poll challenger didn't think they should be kicked out of the room, which in most cases they didn't. In fact, I didn't see one case where a single GOP worker should have been kicked out of that room. But the minute the police would take the workers out of the room, the entire room, all the workers, the GOP workers, the leftist radicals that had no identification, and the Democrat so-called poll challengers would erupt in cheers. I mean, it was like a blood sport for these people. As a GOP challenger would get kicked out, they would go crazy, right? Keep in mind that half of our GOP workers were still locked outside and couldn't come in. So they started the military vote with only about 40 of us inside, and there were 150 tables. They knew that we couldn't oversee the ballots, and that's why they were locking us out. It had nothing to do with too many people in the room. They called the health inspector down to say there were too many people in the room. Well, if there were too many people in the room, maybe some of the Democrat agitators that didn't have any credentials should have left the room. Those people didn't leave the room. There were 2 to 3 of those people almost at every table when I got there. So they locked the GOP workers out so we couldn't watch over the military ballots. Once we started counting the military ballots, I realized why they locked us out. They started opening the ballots, and the ballots are in regular envelopes, right, that are addressed to Detroit City Clerk from overseas, many of them. And so they would open the ballots, and in almost every case, it was a Xerox copy of a ballot. And the ballots looked very similar every time they opened them, which was really strange to me. But here's another thing that's really strange to me. Every single ballot, without exception, at the table where I was working from the military, was a non-registered voter. And without exception, they voted straight Democrat, or at least for Barack, or excuse me, they voted at least for Joe Biden and Gary Peters, both of who have to be the worst candidates in the world. I mean, seriously, nobody votes for Joe Biden unless they hate Trump so bad that it's just a vote against Trump. But nobody votes for Gary Peters, Senator Gary Peters, because nobody knows who the hell Senator Gary Peters is. He's been our senator for 6 years and nobody knows who the man is. Anyhow, so Gary Peters was down in the polls and Trump was down in the polls. And when I got there, there was a really sweet little Romanian man, a poll challenger, who said, I think we still have a chance that we can defeat Gary Peters. John James is still up. And then he proceeded to tell me about how last night a van drove up and pulled into the entrance and dropped off a bunch of ballots at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. And on the front of the van were out-of-state plates. Then I was told by a Republican attorney that a Ferrari and a Chrysler 300 also pulled up with out-of-state plates and delivered ballots. When I asked somebody about it, they said, oh yeah, that's common. The state or the Wayne County has rental cars that deliver the ballots to the polling place. That's not uncommon. I said, Ferraris? They rent Ferraris to deliver ballots to the polling place? I don't think so. So anyhow, we're still waiting for photos of the Ferrari. Apparently, photos were taken of the vehicles, and we have somebody who allegedly has videos and photos. Another thing that happened is people were stationed around Detroit, unbeknownst to some of the people in Detroit that were trying to pull off this scam, watching ballots be delivered. And there was somebody who was waiting at a polling place and saw a Mercedes pull up, and he was unloading cardboard boxes from his car. And as he was unloading the cardboard boxes, this person who was kind of sitting outside the polling place or where they had a drop box and an early voting place, got out of his vehicle and walked over and started taking pictures of the vehicle. When this guy that was carrying the boxes in saw him, he panicked and came back and started throwing the boxes in his vehicle and took off. So, and I'm relaying a story that I heard from somebody that's that I trust, that's a really trusted source, who told me that this person that took the pictures ran his plates and the person in the Mercedes was driving a stolen vehicle. So, I mean, I could go on forever and ever about these stories about voter fraud, but I can tell you that I have never been surrounded by so many incredibly rude, intentionally mean, and deceitful people in my life. Every time we would try to get closer to what was happening, the action and the counting, they would tell us to back away. When we would ask to see the voter rolls, they would flip them over. They had sticky notes on the envelopes on ballots, and we tried to read them, and when they noticed that we were trying to read them, they flipped them over, so we couldn't see what the notes said. They wouldn't allow us to see the signatures on the ballots. They flipped them over, so the signatures weren't showing, so we couldn't see them. When we asked to see them, they told us it was none of our business. This is not a Democratic process. This was a Democrat process. This was a full-out Democrat process. And just to back up, I mentioned that I had trained to be a worker. They were paying $600 a day for workers at the polling place in Detroit. And I decided not to do it because I decided that I would be more valuable in another place. Most of all, reporting the news, which is what Lisa and I normally do every day. So I decided not to do it. But I got an email the night before I was supposed to start working that told me they didn't really need me. They wanted me to sit up in a room and wait to see if somebody dropped out. And then I could be a worker. I can assure you, there were no Republican workers there. If there were, I didn't encounter any, because pretty much consistently at every table I was working at and watching the process, every single person at that table was hostile towards me without exception. I take that back. There was one table where there was an elderly woman who was half asleep, and she had probably been there for 13 hours. She was exhausted, and she really, but the rest of the people sitting at those tables, it didn't matter how long they were there for. They were there to keep me from challenging votes. I kept challenging votes, and they kept telling me I couldn't challenge them. And I kept saying, you have to write down in your challenge book that I'm challenging this vote. And they told me they didn't. So I called a supervisor over. The supervisor told me the same thing. I said, you have to allow me to challenge this vote. He said he didn't have to. He would do it when he wanted to do it. I said, well, when will you do it? And he said, when I get ready to do it. And I said, when will that be? And he said, maybe when I'm done with work. I don't know. And that was his attitude. And he would not write down the challenge. And after that happened, after the military ballots were counted, and every single one of them was not registered to vote, we thought we were done. We were told everybody was done. It was going to be time to go home. I'd been there for almost 13 hours. But I noticed there was a stack of absentee ballots in the middle of the table. And I was curious, because those are empty ballots, about where those ballots were going to go if I didn't keep my eye on them. So I sat down at a chair for the first time in about 7 hours and watched the table. And I kind of looked down for a minute. And as I was looking down, a woman came over that was working at the table earlier, and she slapped down a stack of envelopes. And game on. They were ready to start counting ballots again. I have no idea where these ballots came from. Nobody told us that we were getting any new ballots. We were told that the military ballots were the last ballots they'd be counting. I started looking around the tables, and remember, there's 150 tables, and pretty much every table all of a sudden had this new group of ballots that they were counting out of nowhere. So again, we walked over to the screen to watch when they scanned the name of the person from the envelope to see if they showed up, and they didn't. And the workers would then kind of pretend to go through the manual voter rolls. And then they would go back, and she would manually enter the name of the person that was voting with their address. And then every single birthday was 1/1/1900. So of those maybe 35 ballots, not one of them was registered, that they counted in the end. And then, you know, I could go on forever about this. I really could, but I won't. We were tired. We were really tired. And there were a lot of women that had been there for 15 hours or more, men, both men and women, but a lot of women that I was talking to had been there for several hours and they wanted to go home, understand. And as we started to walk towards the area where the few lawyers, and this was, there was really a skeleton crew, maybe 12 poll challengers left, an attorney and a couple election officials from the Republican side. We mentioned to them that there was a whole table filled with absentee ballots. And we were curious about who was going to watch those absentee ballots after we left. And everybody kind of just said, well, you know, we'll do our best. It's late. They're probably not going to do anything with them. And as I walked by, I watched several workers go over and grab handfuls of the absentee ballots and take them back to their table. Now, when we had a whole line of workers that could walk back to the table with them and see what they were doing with the absentee ballots, that was one thing. But I was by myself, and there were still hundreds of workers there, and they were coming up and just picking up ballots, absentee ballots, and taking them back to their table. Who knows? Who knows who was filling them out? Who knows where they went from there? But you know what? When you're counting ballots, and you've got thousands of absentee ballots sitting on a table, and two elderly women behind you who couldn't care less how many you take out of the bins, and are on their phones looking down, a lot of bad things can happen. And there was nobody watching this process happening. You know, I tried to call a lawyer from the Trump campaign. He didn't answer. We're left there for somebody to go sit by the ballots because I was afraid that something would happen and we couldn't get anyone to do any, to, you know, to sit over there because everybody was kind of tired. But, you know, understandably, we were supposed to be taking shifts, but they locked our workers outside. And so people were not able to take shifts. Once they locked the workers outside, anybody that left couldn't come back. So we had to stay in there. We had no food, no water. We had nothing. And by the way, the Democrat Party brought food and water in for their poll challengers and agitators so they didn't have to leave. We were the ones that had to leave. And when we left, that's when we got locked out. So we decided that we were going to leave. We just couldn't do it anymore. We were exhausted. There was only so much that we could do. There were a few people, I implored them to watch the ballots while I walked away or while we left. And a friend of mine that was working with me and I walked towards the door. And as we got to the door, the woman who had been guarding the door all day stood in front of the door and asked us, "Where the hell do you think you're going?" And we said, "Home." And she said, "Well, you're not going out this way." And we said, "Well, that's the way we came in, and that's the way we're going out." And she informed us that we were not going out that way and that we had to find another way to get out of this gigantic room because she was not allowing us to go out that door. And there were still poll challengers standing up. We could see them behind us in the glass. And my friend Lori that was with me started motioning to her friend to tell her friend that we had to go out another exit because they wouldn't allow us to go out those doors. And this woman stood in front of her and waved her arms up and down in front of Lori's face so Lori couldn't communicate with the woman outside the door. This is how evil these people were. And I looked at her and I said, "What the hell is wrong with you? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, why are you doing that? Why are you waving your hands in front of her face when she's trying to tell her friend that she can't come out this door?" And she just looked at me and said, "There's nothing wrong with me. What the hell is wrong with you?" So anyhow, we decided that we had had enough. I said, "Lori, if we're going to walk through all these people, these workers who have been bitching at me all day to take off my mask, and I don't have any option, I'm going to take off my mask, and you're going to take off your mask, and we're going to walk through them." And Lori said, "I can do one better than that." And she flipped her mask around because she had been wearing a black mask all day. And on the backside of her mask, it said Trump in great big red letters. So Lori and I walked through the whole crowd of very pissed off workers with I had no mask, and Lori's Trump mask. And that was kind of like our last hurrah as we left that venue. I want to tell you one more thing, though, before I go, because I forgot about this. Speaking of masks, there was a worker who came there to be a poll challenger. He was an independent poll challenger, because only independent poll challengers were allowed into the venue, not GOP challengers, but they would allow the independent challengers in. So he had just arrived and we really needed him because they were getting ready to count the military ballots and there were probably less than 50 of us there and 150 tables to cover. So we were really happy he was there. And I didn't even notice they didn't have a mask. But within like seconds, this woman came up to him screaming, telling him to put his mask on. You have to put your mask on, screaming at him. And he just kind of ignored her. And we continued to talk. And then two other women came up. And before you knew it, there were like three or four women screaming at him to put his mask on. And then one of the supervisors came over and he started screaming at him and telling him he had to put on a mask. And he said, I have a medical exemption. I don't have to wear a mask. And so he said, if you don't put your mask on, I'm going to go get the police, who, you know, who did everything that these guys asked them to do. By the way, I was really disappointed. And I'm a huge law enforcement advocate, but I was really pissed that night. We're at the beck and call of the Democrat Party, and they did whatever they asked them to do. It was horrible. So these two policemen came over and told this gentleman that had just arrived that he needed to put a mask on. He explained that he had a medical exemption. He pulled out a letter and said, I have a note from my doctor that proves that I have a medical exemption. I don't wear a mask. And the policeman said, you need to put the mask on. I'm going to kick you out of here. He said, but you're violating my civil rights because I have a right to not wear a mask because I have a medical exemption. He said, I don't really care. You either put the mask on or I'm going to take you out of here in handcuffs. And at that point, that's when the whole crowd, I'm telling you, it was like a blood sport of Democrats, Democrat activists, and these so-called independent fact checkers that were not all independent fact checkers started cheering like it was like the Super Bowl because this guy was getting kicked out. And they even stood up from their chairs and clapped. I'm not kidding. It was unbelievable. It was so completely disgusting. I can't even tell you. These people are working as a collective mob that were counting the votes. Anybody who tells you anything else is lying to you. The media is lying to you. Big tech is lying to you. Even our local media, who tonight on the radio said there was no evidence of any voter fraud at Cobo Hall, lying to you. We saw over and over and over again evidence of at least non-registered voters, and we saw evidence of people that were working there, that were paid to work there, that refused to let us challenge ballots, that refused to let us see the ballots. So I'm here to tell you that those people were there to steal the vote. That was the game. And we watched it happen. There were a lot of us. We had a young girl who came over bawling her eyes out because they were duplicating ballots. And she was asking them to see it, and they wouldn't show it to her. And she started crying, and she kept raising her arm, trying to get an attorney to come over. An attorney wasn't coming over. And the poor girl, by the time she got to us, her little blue mask was just soaked in her tears because she had been so bullied by these mean people all day. She just couldn't take it anymore. She cracked. We just told her, you should just go home. But I'll tell you, to her credit, she was still there pretty late in the night last night. She stuck it out. And so, you know, nobody should ever have to go through that. We should have never been treated that way. We should have never, ever been treated that way. So I'm here to tell you, the next time somebody tells you there's no such thing as mass voter fraud, they're full of shit. They are. I'm just telling you, they are. It's a lie. We watched it happen. We've seen it happen before. We saw it happen in Pontiac, and everybody said, oh, no voter fraud. Guess what? The woman who was the city clerk who was running the voter fraud in that district is now under indictment for 6 felony counts for mail-in voter fraud or absentee voter fraud. Anyhow, that's it. I'm going to look and see if there's anything that anyone has asked me that I need to respond to. So somebody mentioned that COVID was conveniently orchestrated to keep people home to do mail-in ballots. I wrote a story earlier today. I got a phone call from a black conservative friend of mine in Detroit, or I got a message from him telling me that one of his black conservative friends in Detroit voted for Trump. She got a notification to get a mail-in ballot, and so she applied for it. And she's always encouraged her kids to vote. So she asked her kids to get mail-in ballots as well. And her daughter got a mail-in ballot. And she and her daughter filled out their ballots. She's a Trump supporter. Her daughter voted for Biden. Fine. They both went to the same drop-off ballot place in Detroit. She put her ballot in the box first, and then she put her daughter's ballot in. Her daughter drove her there, so her daughter was a witness. She's been checking to see if her ballot was recorded. And, of course, on Election Day, her daughter's ballot was recorded for Joe Biden, but hers was not. And it was showing a line under the date where it should say the ballot was received. And when she looked today, the entire record was removed. And all it showed was that she could apply for an absentee ballot in the next election. It was like she never got a ballot, like it never happened. These people are dirty. I'm telling you, she voted for Trump. Her daughter voted for Biden, put it in a mail in a drop box in Detroit. And the only vote that was recorded was her daughter's ballot in or for Biden. Accident? I don't think so. You know what? Maybe if somebody told me this and I didn't see all the things that I've seen in Detroit and Pontiac and different areas in Michigan and all these stories, you know, about the vehicles, people are trying to say, no, there were no vehicles that pulled up and dumped these ballots off. Guess what? Joe Biden got almost as many votes as Barack Obama. Joe Biden's not a really popular guy, especially in Detroit. I shouldn't say especially in Detroit. He's not as popular as Barack Obama. And for people to honestly believe, and for the media to think that we believe, that Joe Biden got almost as many votes as Barack Obama in Wayne County, it's not even logical. And nobody should ever believe that. And you know what? When Trump comes out and he said the vote was stolen, just saying, there are lots of reports of lots of really bad things that are going on. And you know what? The media is going to tell you that voter fraud's not a real thing. And they're lying to you. So I wouldn't have had as much restraint. I would have clocked the bitch. That's what Adam just said. You know how my husband said the same thing. I don't think I would have had the same restraint as you had. But you know what? There weren't many poll challengers left in that venue. I mean, we were it. If we weren't there to watch them stealing the vote, nobody would have been able to watch them. We had to stay there no matter what we endured. And I couldn't take the chance of being arrested or kicked out. I just couldn't. You know what? One last thing. The policeman that kicked out the gentleman that wasn't wearing a mask, about 2 hours later, we were standing at a table and we looked over and here was this policeman. And I don't know if it was the same guy that was with him because he wasn't as vocal, so he wasn't as identifiable to me. But he was talking to another policeman. They were standing about maybe a foot and a half away from each other, and both of them had dropped their masks. And so my badass friend Lisa went over, Lori, I'm sorry, Lisa's my business partner. She went over and snuck, now we're not allowed to use cameras. She maybe took a picture of the police officer. In the polling place that didn't have a police officer that forcefully removed the man who wasn't wearing a mask. Only 2 hours later was standing talking to his buddy without a mask in the same venue. This is the Democrat way in a hardcore Democrat area. I've been watching it for years. This is nothing new to me. I mean, this was new to me because it was on a much larger scale. It didn't completely surprise me. What surprised me was the inhumanity of these people. I'm not even kidding you when I say these people were in. It was like nothing I've ever seen before. I've never seen people treat other people in such a large group of people treat people so poorly. It was across the board. So what else? Please stay safe. Nothing to say about it. These people, you know, they signed up to work in the polls and the only qualification was that they came down there and apparently you couldn't be a Republican either, like I was. I had another friend who was a Republican. She got rejected. She wasn't even asked to work. She went through the training. Facebook is deleting comments here. No surprise. Contact Trump's people. We've done that. We've talked to the campaign. They're aware. So before I go, I do want to say one thing. So Michon Madoc, who is on the National Board for Women for Trump, she's incredible. She and her husband came down and brought food for the workers. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had food or water. I want to just say the Michigan Republican Party did a terrible job of organizing poll challengers. The phone call I got late at night was not from the Michigan Republican Party. It was from somebody. I got a text actually from Michon Marion, Michon Madoc. I was talking Marion Sheridan. Works with her at Michigan Conservative Coalition and Michigan Trump Republicans. So Michon and Marion and Matt Seeley and Roseanne Pankowski were all down at Coble Hall in a room, and they were putting out an SOS for poll challengers to come down. When I walked out of that break room, there were probably 200 people that answered their call that came down there and were ready to go as poll challengers. So Marion trained these people in the hallway with a microphone, and they were all ready to go. But at that point, everybody was already locked out. So there were probably 300 people that would have been in that room that would have been able to help, but they couldn't. So I want to give a big shout out because our Michigan Republican Party, I hate to like badmouth them, but they're not the ones who make a difference. It's the grassroots people. It's Michonne Maddock. It's her husband, Matt Maddock. It's Marion Sheridan, Roseanne Ponkowski, and Matt Seeley. Those are the people and all the volunteers that work so hard to make all their events happen. They were hosting 3 or 4, maybe even 5 Women for Trump events every single week. And they've been doing this for years, almost since Trump was elected, they've been doing this. And they've been hosting, you know, car rallies and just, I mean, I could go on forever about how much work these people do, but I just want to give a big shout out to them because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been there. I wouldn't have been a poll challenger because they contacted me late at night and said, we need help. There's some really bad stuff going on. You guys need to get down there and help be a poll challenger. And so I did. I could go on forever. Are we living in a communist country? I feel like if we're not living in a communist country, if we don't stop this cheat from happening, we're going to be living in a communist country. And, you know, all the people that are saying, it's just a coincidence that Milwaukee's got all these late votes in. It's just a coincidence that Philadelphia. And we saw videos. We saw people being the poll challenger that was kicked out of the polling place in Philadelphia. That's the real people that I see and that my business partner Lisa sees when we go into polling places. Those are the people we see. Those are the people that are pushing us out, that are telling us we have to leave, that we're not welcome there. Like they control the voting process. And we're not allowed to be a part of it. And believe me, in specific areas in Michigan, they do control the voting process, and they proved it last night. We were not allowed to have a say in the voting process. We were not allowed to get close enough to see what they were doing. And if Trump doesn't win a lawsuit against these people and force them to allow a force a recount and allow us to go through every single ballot, then I don't know what to tell you. Because I can promise you that there's a really, really good chance that Trump, even with the big lead that Joe Biden has, that Trump still won Michigan. I've never seen so much enthusiasm in all my years of being in politics for a president, ever. We were at the last Grand Rapids rally. The line just to get in was over 8 to 10 miles long, just to get in. And then once you got there, you had to wait in line for 2 or 3 more miles. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it. So I don't believe for a second that Joe Biden won the state. And I think that Trump needs to do something about it in his campaign. And I'm asking the people that are watching this to let their friends know to not listen to the media. The media is not telling you the truth. Social media is censoring what we say. This video may not stay up very long. Listen, 9 days before the 2016 election, our page was shut down. We woke up with almost 1 million followers and we were told that our page had been unpublished by Facebook and that it wouldn't be republished. Fortunately, we had friends at Breitbart who wrote about our page being unpublished. And within an hour, our page was republished. This was 9 days before the election. And at that time, we were getting between 36 and 38 million views on our page a week. Since that time, Facebook has taken away 90% of our traffic, and they've never restored it. And before this election, they didn't unpublish us. They just hit us with all these bogus fact checks from their third-party so-called fact checkers, which are reached by another 90%. So we have about 1.7 million followers on Facebook, and a very small percentage of people see our content, or who follow us see our content anymore. And we get messages all the time. Where are you? I can't find you. Even when I put 100% fed up in the search bar, I can't find it. I don't know what to tell you. I was hoping that one of the first orders of business for President Donald Trump, which I still believe he has, we can't give up on President Donald Trump, right? I still believe he has a chance to win this election. If we can just root out this voter fraud and all this evil underhanded stuff that's being done by the Democrat Party, I still believe he can win. I do. And that's not naive. I really do believe it. I believe that if we had to go through and assess all these ballots, There's no way that Joe Biden would win in Wayne County. No way. There's no way. So anyhow, I'm gonna end this. I've been on here long enough. I didn't even expect to be on this long. But anyhow, I want you to talk to your friends. And I want, when there's a rally for Trump, and there are going to be rallies, there's one tomorrow morning at 9:30 in the morning in Detroit. Brandon Strzok is going to be hosting a rally. Scott Presser held a rally today in Pennsylvania. Keep your eyes on social media. Look for these rallies for Trump. Don't be afraid to go. And all you suburban women, I'm talking to the suburban women that said they wouldn't vote for Trump. Guess what? Your white sons are going to become irrelevant. And you know why? Because the Democrats are going to make sure they become irrelevant. So congratulations. You voted for a dementia patient who has no clue what the hell he's doing, whose vice president is the most liberal, has the most liberal voting record in the Senate, and she will be your next president. And guess what? She's not going to care about your son. But you can tell all your friends that you didn't vote for Donald Trump because you're so much smarter. You're a college-educated suburban woman. Tell me, all of my college-educated suburban friends, how are you going to feel when a low-income housing project gets put right next to your house? Because it's happening. It's happening in neighborhoods across America. It's happening in Minneapolis. It's happening all over the place. And guess what? That's going to be one of the top agendas for the Democrats if Joe Biden is allowed to make his way into the Oval Office or somebody helps him to get into the Oval Office. I could go on forever. Thank you for listening to me. And I think that the media is going to mock him and try and make him look like a fool. Be afraid to tell your friends that you support him. Don't be afraid to tell people that you think he won the election. And don't be afraid to say voter fraud is real. It is real. And anybody that tells you that voter fraud isn't real or there's a very small chance of it is lying to you. Have a great night. Signing off. Patty from 100% Fed Up.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.